Welcome back to a new episode of Clones, Jedi Clones, and everything in between. I am your host, Caroline Morgan, and tonight we're here with a brand new episode of Star Wars Theories I Have and Why. Now, I'm hoping to make this an ongoing series, right? Because I have so many theories about Star Wars. It's one of my favorite pastimes, you know? So, I thought we'd get started today with some of my favorites. Alright, so my very first topic we want to talk about today is the lovely Padme Amidala. Now, if you know me, you know I love me a good woman in power. In fact, she's one of my favorite characters because she's strong and independent, and while she does love Anakin, she knows she could kick his butt. Like, in a loving way, you know? So, this first theory I have is Padme didn't actually die because she lost the will to live. This was Padme frickin' Amidala. She was a bad butt who just lost her husband and gave birth to twins. She had just been force choked by her husband. You cannot tell me the woman who faced down death on multiple occasions, including but not limited to helping Ahsoka and Rex and the other clones while in the Blue Shadow virus basement dude, like his lair. Yeah, like that. She took off her helmet like she was brave as frick. She is amazing. You cannot tell me that the lady who, like, went head-to-head against droids on more than one occasion just gave up. Especially not a woman who just gave birth to twins. In my opinion, that is so out of character for Padme. Because as we've seen, Padme is all about, like, family and relationships and just being loved. That's why she kind of took Anakin. Like, she saw this kid who needed someone to be friends with him, and so she became that friend. And, like, you cannot tell me that the same woman who basically adopted Ahsoka the first time they met wouldn't, like, fight for her twins' lives. Like, no! That's just so out of character for her. The woman who in the, Geonosian, arena stared down and, like, fought off those, droids and the animals. And you're telling me she gave up just because her husband force-choked her? No. I think it was more than that. You know. You just know. Padme Amidala would have moved the heavens and the earth for those two babies. But, you know, they did what they did. I don't like it, George. Yeah, another thing I want to talk about is how they hid Luke. Like, good frickin' lord, you couldn't have picked a worse place to hide him. Like, not only did you hide him on Vader's home planet, but you also gave him his original last name and put him with family. Like, what were you thinking? Like, Anakin wouldn't be able to tell his own kid. Like, you can't tell me that somebody did just took a minute and thought that plan through. Because it's flawed on quite a few levels. One thing I saw about this theory was that it was possibly done to protect Leia. Like, if he knew he had one child out there, he might not go after the other, or he might not realize that he had another out there. And it might have been just to throw Anakin off. Leia would have been more powerful than Luke as a Jedi had she actually been given the chance to, you know. Yeah, like as I was saying, Leia would have been way more powerful than Luke as a Jedi had she actually been given the chance and the opportunity and the resources to, you know, become a Jedi from an early age, she would have been far more powerful than Luke. She looked like her mom, but had her dad's anger issues, had his hot-headedness, and his impatientness. She would have just been an amazing Jedi had she actually been given the chance, and according to legend, she was. But then she decided to drop out due to having been. So, like, here's some reasons why I think Leia was more powerful as, or than Luke. Let's just talk about the fact that she was captured by Vader and just chilled. Like, she was just so chill about it, you know? Bizarre. And, like, the fact that she, on more than one occasion, like, resisted Jedi mind tricks, or Sith mind tricks, was just astounding. The woman would have been unstoppable as a full-blown Jedi. Like, Luke was Luke was okay. He was decent, but he could have been better. But, like, Leia could have kicked his butt. And you cannot tell me differently. Luke was a wimp and all, kind of a wimp, like, yeah. He was less likely to, like, go in there guns a-blazing, whereas Leia was, so she's just like her father. Luke, I think, would have done extremely well in politics. Whereas we know Leia was not a fan of being in politics. Like, yeah, she was a good politician and all, but her mother was Padme Amidala. She was bound to be a good politician. Like, Luke was definitely more of a peacekeeper and a, and more of a mama's boy, honestly. He would have just done better in a peaceful role where he got to, like, talk to people. And Leia would have been better as the fighter because we know she's hot-headed, guns a-blazing type of gal. So, yeah, she would have been so much better had she been the one to be chosen to be a Jedi. One thing about this is I think they knew Leia would have been way too powerful. Leia is a hothead with Annie's smart mouth and talents. I believe someone had a vision or something and saw how powerful Leia could have been. Like, she could have been up there with Anakin levels of powerful. And they were probably, rightfully, worried that, that she might turn out just like him. You cannot convince me that she was not more powerful than the more powerful twin. But being written by a man in the 80s, where the hero was a boy, yeah, of course they were gonna give it to Luke. The next theory that I want to talk about is Corky. Corky Satine. Or Corky Karyazid. Satine's nephew. Can't pronounce her last name. And why I want to talk about Corky is I have this, like, major theory that Corky was Satine and Obi-Wan's secret child. Like, legitimately, have you ever seen that child? He is literally the perfect mixture between Obi-Wan and Satine. He's got Satine's nose, Obi's smart mouth, Obi's hair, and a lot of other features that match the both of them. Like, similar hands and everything. It's weird. But him being her secret child, it would explain why Satine was snippy towards Obi-Wan at the beginning. And why she's protective of Corky. And why Obi-Wan might have offered to stay and leave the order for her is because, I don't know, maybe he felt something. And, like, honestly, I think that Obi-Wan and Satine should have been in game. Like, they were adorable, and I cannot believe they killed her off. Because of freaking course they did. Next thing I want to talk about is Qui-Gon Jinn. I personally think Qui-Gon would have been a better master to Anakin than Obi-Wan was. And, like, don't get me wrong, Obi-Wan was a great dude and a wonderful person, but he was a child teaching a child. He still hadn't fully learned everything when he, like, really took Anakin under his wings. He was still learning how to do stuff himself. And, like, they were just too different. One reason I think this is because Qui-Gon found it easier to, he was more balanced, and he was free-spirited, and he could have taught him about the dark side. They would have been more of a parallel, he would have been more of a parallel to learn from, rather than the steep angles we see in Star Wars. He would have been more understanding, and he would have taught him, like, really how to do things, like, properly, and he wouldn't have shamed him for having attachments. In fact, he probably could have taught him to incorporate the attachments into his fighting style, and it would have just been great, and I think that Qui-Gon would have actually been okay with Obi-Wan as a team being together and actually encouraged him. But that's just me. I also think that Qui-Gon was a gray Jedi, which is something that we don't talk about near enough. Like the fact that we know that he was, he dabbled in the dark side while being a light side user, and he got used to that, and he's one of the few people that we see do that. The other being, Jesus Christ, Mace Windu. Not Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is a light side user. He learned to balance the light and the dark side and mix it together and use it to his advantage. So he would have been really useful for Anakin to have, so that he could have learned how to, like, you know, not fall to one side or to the other. And he could have actually brought forth the change that people were looking for. These are all my headcanons. I personally think that Yoda knew Anakin was slipping to the dark side. In the last arc of the Clone Wars, we see Yoda coming to terms with the dark side. I think there's no way he didn't feel in Anakin's anger and hatred after Obi-Wan's supposed death. Supposedly, you'd think that they would be able to feel good versus bad entrances into the Force. Surely they would be able to feel whether someone was more of a light side user or a dark side user. And surely, of anybody, it would be Yoda. Let's see. Yeah, Yoda especially would have been more attuned with this feeling. And if anyone could have found out that Anakin was slipping far over to the dark side, it would have been Yoda. Or Obi-Wan. Or Ahsoka, really. I'm surprised they didn't. I'm surprised Padme didn't see it coming. Of everybody, you would think it would be her who realized that he was slipping too far over. Next thing I want to talk about is my theory that the council just straight up doesn't care. They really don't. They originally didn't want to let Anakin in because he was, quote-unquote, too old. Like, if you were just told this child was, like, extremely powerful, and had more midichlorians than even Yoda himself, and you turn him down? Like, this is the chosen one. Surely you'd rather have him on your side than not. Another reason that I think the council doesn't care is the fact that they took literal infants from their mothers. Like, I don't care what you think you're doing.
That is a infant. It can't be more than a couple of months old, if that. And to think they're just out here taking babies and raising them to be Jedi. Like, there's gotta be a better way for this. Like, wouldn't it be better and, like, more effective if you let them, you know, be raised by their parents and their family? And, like, I get it. Like, no attachment. But that's just a bunch of BS. But in my honest opinion, they would have fought harder. They would have done anything to get peace in the galaxy if they had a reason. Like, just wanting peace isn't enough. You need to have a reason to fight. You need to have a reason to want this peace. And, like, sure, it was for everybody, but, like, they didn't really have a reason. They were just told to do something. They weren't peacekeepers at that point. They were just soldiers following the orders they had been given to them by the council. The council is not good. They are so quick to turn on one another. So quick to, like, you know, disengage from someone just because they're, like, nine. Like, good freaking lord, dude. Have a little compassion and crap. But anyway, now that that rant is over, because I have a whole podcast episode on why I don't like the council. Yeah. Next thing I want to talk about is I have this, like, theory. I've already talked about it in my Rex episode. But I have this theory that Rex is a natural blonde, and you cannot tell me differently. He is a natural blonde. Like, have you seen that man? It's a fine man. But his hair is, like, isn't even an inch long, and you're expecting me to believe that every time his roots start to grow out, he's out here bleaching that? Like, no. He would be bleaching his hair, like, every 2 weeks. And, like, that's ridiculous. Nobody is doing that. Do you know how damaging that would be to someone's head? Like, do you know how sensitive the scalp is? And the fact that you're just wanting me to believe... he's just putting, like, bleach on it. Like, no. His hair would be coming off and, like, slopping off. Where was I? And not only that, but let me mention the fact that we have seen cadets with mutations. In fact, there is a cadet who looks just like a miniature Rex. Like, he's got the hair, the eyes, and, like... there's no way this cadet is getting bleach. Which leads me to the reason I think his hair is natural. And not only that, we've seen clones with dyed hair. I can't remember which one it is, but it's one of the 212. His hair is like highlighter yellow. So we do know that they have hair dye, but compared to Rex's natural blonde... it's just, you could tell the difference. Okay, keeping on, Rex. I believe that Rex was on Endor, and I know this has been, like, a highly debated topic since, like, Clone Wars has come out, but you cannot tell me the man who was in the Clone Wars and in the Resistance wouldn't want to be there on Endor. Like, you can't keep this man at a fight. They've tried, and it didn't work. So, yeah, Rex was on Endor. That man was Rex. He even has the, like, armor. And, like, tell me what you want, but no, that's Rexy boy. And another thing about Rex, you can't convince me that he did not meet Luke and Leia after the Empire fell. I believe that once he realizes those are the kids of his general, his best friend, he'd absolutely want to meet them. Especially after he spent so long covering for their parents. He'd absolutely tell them about them. Rex is so sentimental, there was no chance in hell that he would not want to not meet them and tell them about their parents and all their glory days. Okay, last thing I want to talk about, this is just a quick episode, because I'm tired. Is that I think Ventress has been, like, good all along. Like, she went through so much trauma. Like, it's no wonder she went to the dark side. Like, from her master dying to, like, everything that happened, being abandoned by, like, Dooku and all that. I think she was more in line with a Grey Jedi than she was a Sith Lord. I don't think she was ever actually a full-blown Sith. Especially considering how easy it was for her to slip into the neutral spot. Maybe I'll go into that in depth later, but right now I'm tired. I'm going to bed, y'all. Good night.